This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As we talk about the political will for police reform and why it seems to have made such a big leap forward this year, it's impossible to deny the impact of social media. Americans have small screens delivering stories every minute of the day. And in recent years, those stories have included horrific scenes of Black death at the hands of law enforcement. And yet, once we get to the point of acting on reform, it's important to have data that tells us what's going on. Michael Esposito is a research fellow at the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan, and he spent his academic career looking at the systemic issues around health impacts and, more recently, police use of force. He joins us from his home in Ann Arbor. Mike, welcome to Stateside.
Hey, thanks for having me.
In the past, I know that you've studied how education and the places where people live can affect their health outcomes. Can you tell us a little bit about how you became interested in what data could offer us about interactions with law enforcement?
Yeah, so I guess the story behind that is my colleagues who wrote some of these recent papers with me, Frank Edwards and Hedwig Lee, were having a conversation one day about high-profile police killing. But we were trying to like get like a read on exactly like how big of a problem kind of this kind of police violence was in our country, right? We kept stories and stories and community organizers like kind of saying this is a serious problem in our country. And we had a few empirical studies before that kind of like highlighted it, but nothing that was really, really that gave us a clear picture of the extent to which police were killing. We saw that and we wanted to like see if there was a way to kind of like provide that information and kind of really give good descriptions of who was being killed by police in our country, what people's risks were, and how like the extent of the problem. And so that's how we got into like kind of digging around for data and trying to figure out like exactly what we can do there.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you gather the data that you've used in your studies?
Yeah, so the data, so the problem, when I said we didn't know much, like part of the problem with that is, or the main problem with that is the quality of the official data on the topic. So police, believe it or not, don't have any kind of, not many incentives to report an instance when they kill a civilian. And so again,
right. There
have
been
not,
sorry to interrupt, but like there are times when deaths have been reported in ways that might obscure police's involvement. Maybe someone goes into cardiac arrest at the county jail.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, and even worse than that, some just names don't really appear in kind of these databases about people dying in interactions with police. And so, we couldn't make headway with those data. But instead, some journalists, like a couple of different journalists in different projects, kind of stepped in and said, we can do better and we can build out a more comprehensive database. And the one that we used, Fatal Encounters, is a journalist, Brian Burghardt. But he was went through and kind of looked at media reports, did public records requests. It's been validated since we did the study to be like much more complete. I think it captures like more than 90% of like all kind of cases that occurred in a couple of select states that they did. So we're pretty good that we can, or pretty sure that we can trust these numbers. And what we found by looking at it, well, I guess we did two things. And the first one was we just wanted to quantify the risk that folks of different ages, genders, and racial groups had of being killed by law enforcement. And when we do that, we see some pretty big disparities. So we found for like Black men, about one of every 1,000 Black men that are born can be expected to be killed by police at some point in their life, compared to one out of 2,000 Latino or American Indian men, one out of every 2,500 white males, and one out of every 5,000 Asian males. We also find that while risk is considerably lower for women, there's still really big racial disparities, even among these smaller numbers, with Black and American Indian women facing risks that are about 1.5, a little bit more than that, higher than white women. And as far as age groups goes, we see that risk is highest for young adults between the ages of 20 to 34, and that among that age group, police killings are the sixth leading cause of death, at least among men. behind other things like suicides, other homicides, overdoses, and other kind of leading causes like that.
So at risk of oversimplifying, I mean, one of the big takeaways out of that particular study was, again, that Black men are more than twice as likely as white men of the same age group to be killed in an interaction with police.
Definitely.
Have you learned anything since then about how other health outcomes might be affected by or indicative of violent interactions with police for people of color?
Yeah, so not our research team, but there are really great scholars at other universities doing this work. So Abigail Sewell, she's done a lot of good work showing the mental health consequences of kind of like, I think people that have had family members that have been harassed by police, right? And they're pretty devastating, pretty big increase in depression and other kind of like mental health indicators like that. Maybe a little bit more insidious and complicated is some of the stuff that folks at University of Minnesota are doing that show that this police brutality erodes distrust in all sorts of institutions, like medical institutions. And so people that like are in areas that see more police violence are Black folks in those areas are kind of much less likely to trust and utilize healthcare resources. So it's like, it goes way beyond just the killing of an individual. It has like all these kind of impacts on people's direct health and then kind of like their willingness to use resources that are kind of essential for health.
So armed with this knowledge, do you feel like there are areas that are less well understood right now that might be some obvious places for further study?
Yeah, so something that we did a little bit earlier, I think, points to some of this stuff, and we're still trying to figure out what any of it means, right? So in a 2018 study, we took a look at where police killings were most common in the United States, right? And we saw some kind of patterns that may, depending on how well familiar you are with kind of sociological literature, may seem a little counterintuitive. So, for instance, we found that Black risk was highest in kind of West Coast states like California and Washington, and also Midwest states like Missouri and Minnesota, where risk among Black adult men was particularly low among Southern states. So, you know, like that points to, right, there's differences between those geographic spaces and like their culture, their economies, all sorts of things that kind of like feed into these disparities. And they're a little counterintuitive. And I think figuring out like why, for instance, Washington State produces so many kind of deaths among Black men, but somewhere like Alabama doesn't do it, I think that would like fill in a lot of information about what's happening in these kind of interactions that lead to murders.
How do you feel this data should be used when we talk about solutions?
Well, I think that it should be, I kind of appreciate the way that it's being used right now, right? Like it's saying this is kind of an ignorable problem. You compare the numbers that we see to other countries that, I mean, most other countries achieve like kind of either zero deaths every year or only a handful, like their law enforcement only kill a handful of people each year. And so comparing that to kind of like what we've shown here, just in terms of raw total, One thing that I didn't mention earlier was that, you know, police are responsible. We find that police are responsible for about 8 to 9% of all kind of homicides with adult male victims, right? And that's exceptionally high. And it says that we need to do something. And
high in terms of global numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it's near zero in most other countries. So it's like this is preventable. Data show that it's exceptionally high compared to other countries. And also the data, like that comparison means we can do something to prevent this entirely. And I think people are taking that a little bit more seriously now.
Can I ask what it's been like for you to see the lens of public attention go into such sharp focus on these interactions and all the protests that have been happening across the country?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been strange, right? As both an academic and just like kind of a 31-year-old Black dude in the States, right? So I remember years ago when Mike Brown got killed and watching Obama on TV talk about it and kind of feeling like things were changing a bit. But then, you know, we ended up right back where we were and everything remained stagnant. So it's a little, it's kind of, I'm cautious about this time and seeing like all the protests and seeing all the attention and just like how laser pointed focus is being on this issue again. But it does seem a little bit different, right? Like that we're even having some cities that are kind of taking immediate actions. I think Minneapolis said they're going to defund their police to an extent, and LA and New York are doing it. So seeing that like the protests are leading to change and kind of like there's so much activity on the street makes it feel a little bit different this time, right? Still cautious about if anything is going to change because, again, we've seen attention be focused on things before, but the extent to which it is this time seems like something kind of new for my lifetime, at least.
Michael Esposito is a research fellow at the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research. We'll post some links to his research in our Twitter feed if you need to find them quickly. Mike, thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot.